Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight. Psalms chapter 147. Psalms 147 tonight. We began last week in the Sunday school with the teenagers and their parents, talking a little bit about relationships there and some of the struggles and some of the things that teenagers face today. Last Sunday night, we talked a little bit about living preemptively. And I told you that here during the next couple months, we're going to talk a little bit about different struggles and things that teenagers and their parents face, but also make it applicable to the whole entire church. I know that our church loves their kids and loves the teenagers and would not mind hearing messages that are going to help them. But in the same time, in the same way, I believe all these things are applicable to all of us. But as you hear me presenting it in a certain way, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to make application to your heart about the importance of our relationships with our young people and how we should be helping mentor them and the struggles that they face and some of the lies that the devil likes to tell. And last week we gave this idea, and the whole series has this thought about the different hooks the devil tries to hook people with. We talked about how we gave him an example as a fisherman, and as the fisherman is trying to hook the fish is what he does with teenagers and even with all of us, as he is a skilled artist at making deception and using different things that cause Christians and those who are unsaved to be hooked by the devil and hooked by his trickery. And he is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning, and he's going to do everything he can to try to destroy your life. And tonight, the title of that message is The Wall of Protection. The Wall of Protection. And this is the first hook that we're going to talk about. We're going to look at some different hooks, and we're going to spend a couple weeks on this hook and then look at another hook and spend a couple weeks on that and the same type of thing, just to try to get us a good understanding about truth. And I tell you, we need to hear stuff that's going to help us in our families and help the next generation, because we're losing our next generation and we're losing it to the world. And I said last week, Satan as a fisherman has hooked thousands and thousands, and he is getting better at what he does. Either that or the world's getting worse at biting and taking the bait. And this is the first hook of the destruction is rebellion against authority. Rebellion against authority. And this is how Satan takes this up, and he dresses it up, and he hooks many believers and even hooks many young people into believing that they should rebel against the godly authorities in their lives. Here's some lies that I think that the enemy tells to the teenager. Authority is for kids. And that's what they are. But, you know, when you get to be 16, 17, 18, they say things. I'm 18 years old now. I am a legal adult. I can finally do what I want, and nobody can say anything about it. And that's a lie that the devil tries to tell you, that you don't have any type of authority. That you'll never have other authorities once you turn 18. Authority is holding me down, keeping me from the fun, the friends, and the frills of real freedom. That's why I want my freedom. I can't wait to get away from my home. And last week we talked about how the importance of having a parent that lives preemptively, or even having Christians that live preemptively, and the idea of protecting and not just waiting for a tragedy to happen, not waiting for the devil to hook a young person to where there's some type of tragedy that happens in their life, but instead living preemptively to make sure that those things do not happen. Next one, a lie that tells the devil tells a teenager, or a fisherman tells a teenager, I'm sick of people telling me what to do all of my life. I'm tired of having things crammed down my throat. Finally, I'm an adult and I can make my own choices without somebody breathing down my neck. I waited a long time for this kind of freedom from authority. And sometimes that's what the devil tries to convince a young person is that, you know, rebel against that authority, question that authority. And if it's a godly authority that he's put in their life, that's something that a young person should embrace. Think about some of the enemies that they tell a parent or someone who's trying to help young people. Sometimes the enemy tells them this lie. All teenagers are rebellious. It's normal. I just have to learn to put up with it. After all, I was rebellious too when I was a teenager. In fact, my teen is better than I was. Who am I trying to be an authority? I was far worse than this, and I have no right to discipline my teen. That is a lie, but I've heard parents say that before. And I've heard people use this as an excuse. I've used this as an excuse that, hey, they're a lot farther along than what I was at this point in my Christian life. And that's, I use that as the idea of to help somebody understand that Christian life is something about growth and something about being patient and working with them. But when you are the God-given authority in that young person's life, then we must remember that that's the place that God has given us and not let the devil bite into that hook. Another thing, a lie that a parent is told by the devil. I'm tired of fighting. I don't have the will or the energy to get into this. I'm just going to give in and let them have their way. It's not worth fighting over. And that's a lie from the devil. Maybe this rule is too harsh or extreme. I mean, really, is the pastor or the church a little too overboard in this area? Is there really anything wrong with, and you can fill in the blank there, after all, too much Bible, too much God might actually push my child away from me. And I tell you that there are people who believe that, and I believe that's the lie. That's a lie from the devil. I believe if, you know, sometimes people will walk away from the Word of God and walk away from the teachings, but we should never bite into that lies that the devil is trying to give us. It strikes at the root and very foundation of spiritual stability. Biblical authority for a teen and even for parents and for even adults. What it is a protective fortress intended by God to shield them from spiritual attack. Thus, the attempt of the enemy is to literally draw you out from behind that protective hedge of a biblical authority so that they can get a clear shot at you. What the devil is trying to do is he's trying to get you to question your parents, especially if they are godly parents. He's trying to get you to question maybe teachers and Sunday school teachers and people who love you that are Christians that's trying to mentor you and help disciple you for Christ. He's trying to get you to get away from your pastor he tries to tempt you into believing that, hey, what do they know? They were worse than I was when I was a kid and why do I have to listen to that? Everybody's trying to tell me what to do. He's trying to take you away from that godly authority, that wall protection that God has given you to protect you away from the devil and protect you what's on the other side of that wall. He's trying to get you out from that so that way he can attack you when you're alone. He wants you to get you away from any type of godly help. He wants to put you in a spot where he can, as we looked at last week, the Bible describes a roaring lion looking whom he may devour. He says, so what does Psalms 147 have to do with it? Well, in Psalms chapter 147, verses 11 to 13, the Bible says, the Lord taketh pleasure. 147, chapter verse number 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. Now, there's two parts of this verse I want you to see. There's two ways to take the first part of verse number 13. When it says, for ye have strengthened the bars of thy gates. It sounds like a pretty tight, locked up place. He has strengthened the bars of thy gate. And you say, well, what's that all about? God made him live in a prison camp. They couldn't get out and do what they wanted to. You know what? The bars and the gates mentioned in this verse were intended for a certain purpose. The bars and gates at that point in time back then, those living in Jerusalem, they were thankful for the bars. They were thankful for the gates. If you remember back in the Bible time, those bars and those gates, what were they there for? They were there to protect them. People would come in and attack the cities and they would ravish the cities and they would destroy the people inside. And what they would do is they would build up large walls like we hear in the story of Jericho. And they would put bars and they would put gates there. And the people of Jerusalem, they weren't upset. They weren't mad. And it says in verse number 13, he has strengthened the bars of thy gates. They weren't upset saying, I hate those walls. I hate those bars. I hate the fact that they block my view. They weren't saying, I feel like I'm a prisoner in this city. No, they were saying, thank goodness or thank God that he has established and he has strengthened those bars and he has put away a protection around us so the enemy cannot get into the city. And this is the idea of what godly authority is. It is a wall of protection that protects us from the outside world, from the devil and from what he's trying to do. The fisherman that's trying to hook you with things. You think about it, in the day and time we live in, it says you're told question authority. You watch TV on primetime TV. What do? They question authority. That's a popular, it's even a bumper sticker of the generation, this generation. Unfortunately, that question is not really the idea of question authority, it's suspect authority. It's talking about resisting authority. It's a subtle lie that the devil has placed in there, and you know what? He is trying to get you to not just question, but to suspect it and to resist against the authority that God's given you. Now, let me be honest with you. I think questioning authority with the right heart set is not a bad thing. If my sons would come up to me and say, hey, Dad, you give us this rule, you give us this guideline, I get it, it's a wall of protection, it's a spiritual hedge, you're trying to keep the devil out of my life, but why won't you let me and they watch this? I would love it if my kid asked me that. You want to know why? Because what I try to do is I try to get biblical principles and base the biblical principles and try to show him from the Word of God, this is why we do what we do. And like I said, I know some people won't connect the dots the way I do when it comes to certain things. But, you know, why won't you let me watch rated R movies? And I can take him to something that shows him, hey, look, the Bible says, set no wicked thing before thine eye. The Bible says that everything we should do to the honor and glory of God. The Bible says, and I would love to have the opportunity. I've sat down and we have strong standards when it comes to dating. And I've sat down and I've talked with them. And I explained to them the purpose behind it and the reason why these things. And I if they had a question about it, I would encourage them to come. If a church member has a question about something, I would encourage them to say, why do we do this? And there's normally a biblical principle that we back everything up with and try to teach and preach. Now, you might say, well, I don't see that from the Word of God. But there's a purpose in there, and there's a plan. There's a method to the madness, in a sense. And I want you to be fair, though, when you ask questions. I want you to listen to what the biblical principle is and see where the application is coming from. Because I've had people say, oh, why do we do this? Or why don't we do this? And I'll take them from the Bible. This is the reason why we ask you to do this if you're going to be in a leadership position or if you want to be a part of our church. These are the reasons why we ask this. And there's a reason for it. There's nothing wrong with questioning and the idea of, with a good heart, trying to understand. The issue comes when a young person hates the wall so much, they're looking for a way through the wall. There's a problem when we hate authority and hate the Word of God and hate people telling us having authority in our lives, and we do not want to listen to that and just say, phooey, and try to find a way around it. You think about it, there's a fence. You got a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, and you have a fence in your backyard. Why do you have the fence in your backyard? It's to protect them. And you don't see 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds. Normally, you don't see them stomping their feet and complaining because there's a fence around their backyard. They just don't whine about that. Now, when they get older, they might start saying, well, I can climb the fence. I can try to break through the fence. But why is that fence there? That fence is there to protect them, not to go wandering, but also it's to keep animals away from them. You know, if there's a dog that comes running up in your yard and you're in there and the kids are outside playing and you can't get to it because the fence is, because the dog's coming quicker than you, you could get there, the fence is there to help protect it. But I've seen many times rebellious teenagers, and even rebellious adults. You know, what is rebellious? Is knowing what to do is right and doing something different. They completely miss the protection and the safety and the advantages that a wall protection will give. They miss the idea of why the fence is even there. They never see the love, the compassion, and the care of the fence builder in their lives. They ignore the blessings and the great things within the fence. The fun, the freedom, and the safety that is offered by the wall protection that a parent places inside a home, that a pastor puts around a church, and that way they are too busy trying to break free that they never realize they are breaking free from the safety, and they soon find themselves out in the play field of the devil. You know what? I don't think we are rebellious. When we're rebellious, we're not prisoners to the rules. But instead, we are blind and ignorant to the safety that God has intended for our lives. Those who fight godly authority fight against their own safety. Eventually, yes, people are going to break free from authority only to find themselves exposed, vulnerable, and easily reeled in by the devil. You think about the example of the prodigal son. He went and he told his dad, give me my share, I'm leaving. Back then in that time period, for a son to go up to his father before the father had passed away or before a certain age that they were actually leaving the homestead and ask for a share, that he was saying, I don't want to listen to you anymore. I don't respect you. I don't think you're taking care of me like you should. So I want you to give the portion that's belonged to me and I'm going to leave. And what they're saying is, I don't like the life that you've given me here. I don't like the wall of protection anymore. I want to go out and I want to live like the world, because that's what we see happens in the prodigal son's life. He was tired of dad's rules, tired of living that life according to dad's way. And he says, I want to go. And what happens? He leaves. And what? He leaves himself completely vulnerable. Young person, teenager or child, I want you to understand is that God has placed godly authority in your life for a reason. Biblical authority in a life for a reason. Not to try to rob your fun, but instead to set up a wall of protection, a spiritual hedge to keep the devil out of your life and out of your heart. There's four things I want you to see tonight, and four things I think that is important that we can all probably agree with and hopefully understand. The first thing is God's design of authority is universal. God's design of authority is universal. You know, I think it's cute when a teenager or a kid say, okay, I want to get out on my own. I want to take care of myself. And I want all the freedom that comes with being an adult. They get out of the house and they realize they got to start paying a car payment. They realize they got to start paying rent, electric, insurance, and they think, I don't have anybody telling me what to do. But now they got a boss that's breathing down their back and who's a lot less probably caring than their parents ever were. You know, the truth is that we are all under some type of authority. We all have to answer to God. We all have a God that we answer to, but we all have types of authority in our lives. So listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 3. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I've delivered them to you. But I have you know that the head of every man is Christ. He's saying, look, Christ is your head. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Everyone is under authority. You'll never live a day of your life when you're not required to answer to some type of authority. You think about it, you will never outgrow it. You'll never get beyond it. You'll never escape it. Everyone lives under some type of authority. And sooner or later, the sooner you accept authority as a part of your life, the sooner you will grow into spiritual maturity. One preacher wrote it this way, and I thought this was kind of cute. If you're just absolutely sick of authority, then you just can't take your parents anymore. Move out of the house, get a job, pay your own rent, drive your own car, and answer to your boss, answer to the landlord, answer to the traffic patrolman. And if you cannot take that, then consider joining the military. You don't have to listen to anybody there, right? Life is great and perfect. No, that's not the way it works. We all have authority in our life, and we all have someone we answer to. Obviously, first and foremost, it is God, and He has placed authority in our lives, and He has given us biblical authority for a reason, to help build a wall of protection to keep the devil out. Second thing I want you to think is, earthly authority will never be perfect. Earthly authority will never be perfect. That's just reality. People are going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. My kids can tell you that I make mistakes. But does that get, because I made a mistake, give my kids a right to rebel against the authority in my life? No. 1 Samuel chapter 8, great story. Samuel has served God. Samuel has served Israel all these years. I preached about this a couple weeks ago in the Sunday school class of the teenagers. And I said, we just want to be like everybody else. I preached this a few years ago on 1 Samuel when we went through that. And Israel was looking for an excuse to get a king. They didn't like God being their king anymore. They didn't like how God would send them judges and how God was the extreme rule. And even God himself says, Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And that's what you do when you reject biblical authority. You're not just rejecting that person, you're rejecting God's authority in your life. And 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 5, the leaders of the nation of Israel come and said unto him, behold, thou art old. Isn't that something nice to tell your leader? And that's why I said to the young people that day in Sunday school class, don't think that you can just look at your parents and say, you're too old, you don't understand what I'm going through, I want to do the things I want to do. And that's what Israel was saying to Samuel. Samuel, you're old. Listen, it continues on. It says, and he said to him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. And what happens in this story, Israel finds an excuse so they can be like everyone else. They turn and look at Samuel, and Samuel has served God all these years. Samuel makes a mistake. Samuel is getting older. And instead of waiting for God to bring a new judge along the side, Samuel says, I'm going to take my sons and let my sons be the judge in certain areas in my place. His sons don't walk in his ways. They take bribes. They do things that are wrong. Samuel should have listened to God and should have waited for God. Samuel chose not to do that. And because of that, the nation of Israel now says, okay, Samuel, because you sinned, now we want to live like everybody else. And they use the excuse of the authority making a mistake as a reason why they should be able to do whatever they want. And that is wrong. That's not just because earthly authority will never be perfect. They use Samuel's age as an excuse. They use Samuel's mistake as an excuse. And when they said that we want to be like everybody else, they made up that excuse and they forsook God's desire for them. We a few weeks ago on Sunday morning, we looked at it and said, this is God's plan for you. God wanted to take the nation of Israel, make it a peculiar people. He wanted to make them special. He wanted to make them different. And they said, we don't want that anymore. We want to be like everybody else. And they were rebellious to what God's design and God's plan for them was. And I said, young people, God wants you to be special in the fact that you're a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a holy nation. He has something planned for you. And when you say, I want to be like everybody else and look and point over and says, well, that person's doing it and that person's doing it and this pastor has failed and this teacher has gone off into sin and this person, and we use excuses why we do not have to serve God, we forget this. We forget this point. Earthly authority will never be perfect. Young people, don't use your parents. Adults, don't use your pastor as a reason why you don't have to serve God anymore, because they might make a mistake. Now, we could all bemoan the failures of earthly authorities. I know growing up, I saw some people that should not have been in charge of young people and young kids. And we've probably met teachers that maybe shouldn't have been there. But you know what? We need to recognize the position. These failures are everywhere. Our national justice system is imperfect. Our law enforcement agencies sometimes fail. The school teacher is not always right. At home, mom and dad will sometimes be wrong. Sometimes they will act out of anger. Sometimes they will react less than spirit-filled responses. And if you're looking for a failure as a reason to distrust and defy God's plan of authority, it will not take you very long to find it. But we must learn to embrace the fact that God has placed this in our life for a purpose. Humanity is fallen. Our world is corrupt, is a corrupt place, and no earthly authority will be perfect or 100% accurate all the time. And you can find a reason why you should not follow authority in your life, but does that give you an escape? Does that give you a get out of jail free card because your parent makes a mistake and you can live whatever way you want? Certainly there are times when the lines are crossed, don't get me wrong, and those in authority, because of their choice, naturally forfeit their right to authority or influence. I know in my church back home, a pastor made a mistake. He committed a sin. He disqualified himself from being a pastor. He was no longer my godly authority because he had to step down because of that sin. I'm not saying that every person is someone who will continue to have that authority. Sometimes we do not advocate deliberate abuses of authority. Exactly the opposite. I believe that God gives someone authority and he holds that person to the strictest accountability. I believe that God gives you authority in a home. I think that he will hold you accountable for that. As a pastor, hold me accountable to the way that I pastor this church. As a husband, he will hold me accountable as the way I am to my wife and to my kids and to my home. With authority brings a huge stewardship of influence, and everyone in authority must answer to those who serve and ultimately to God for how they use that authority and that position of authority. I don't know about you, but I feel I'm worthy all the time. To think that I have the responsibility to pastor a church and even just to help with, be a helpmate, to be a help to my family. And that's why I need God's help. And that's why I want to put that wall protection in their life. Human authority falls short sometimes, though. As a pastor, I'm sure I've disappointed some of you before in the past, and I'm sure it's going to happen again. I don't do it on purpose, but it does not negate the fact that God has placed authority in our lives. This does not negate authority in our lives. In other words, just because there are a few bad policemen, does that mean we should not respect all policemen? Just because some do things that are wrong, does that mean we should group them together and never listen to another policeman? Obviously not. The fact that some people abuse the power in religious or governing institutions doesn't mean that we should resist every pastor, every church, every public officer. The fact that our spiritual health and our national freedom depend on these authorities and their positions need to be filled with trustworthy people, people who understand the stewardship and labor diligently to serve and protect and to honor those that they serve, doesn't give us a right to just want to break through the walls of authority that God's given us. Bringing it a little closer to home, parents, we need to make sure that we don't resist the authority that God has given us in our life. We will not always be right, but the devil will try to use excuses when we mess up and say, who do we have a right to try to help raise our kids? That's a lie from the devil. And we need to continue to be strong in the Bible and the Word of God and try to raise our children after the admonition of the Lord and build a wall of protection. Third thing I want you to see here is earthly authority is given for our protection, not our persecution. Why don't you take your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter number 22. Ezekiel chapter number 22. Earthly authority is given for our protection, not persecution. God didn't give you parents so they could take, see how much fun they can take out of your life. God didn't give you parents so they can wake up in the morning, let's see how mean or how bad we can be to our children today. That's not why God gave your parents authority. They gave you so they could stand in the gap in the day and time that we live in to provide a spiritual hedge. Let's look here what it says in Ezekiel chapter 22 and look at verses 28 through 30. Verses 28 and 29 gives a description, a picture of a oppressed people. They are fearful, they are distressed, they are devastated because one group is afflicting another group. God is displeased with this. God is looking for someone who can stand in the gap. And the hedge that the Lord refers to here, I want you to try to paint a picture of a spiritual hedge here. Look what it says in Ezekiel 22 verses 28 through 30. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lines unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. They're telling lies. Verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. It sounds a little bit like what's going on in our world today. And verse number 30, God is saying, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And now, there's people who oppress. There are people who try to devastate, use fear and distressing of others. And God is saying here in this passage that he is looking for someone who will stand in the gap. And I picture this when you think about a spiritual hedge and there's a hole there and there's someone who is trying to get through the hole to try to get to our family and try to get to our kids. And we as parents stand in the gap between the world that the devil is trying to drag our kids out to and to the godly home that God wants us to be. And we're standing in the gap in between trying to make up a hedge and say, okay, I'm not going to let the devil into my child's life. I'm not going to let the devil into my world. I'm not going to let the devil into my home. I'm not going to let the devil into my church. I'm going to try to keep my kids protected. And the idea that I need to make sure that I'm doing what I can to keep the devil away from them, because we shouldn't play around with the devil. The devil's a roaring lion. He's looking to devour you. He's looking to devour your kids. I know some people says, well, you can only shelter your kids so much. And I understand what you're saying there. But in the world and time that we live in, we have young people who are rebelling against authority and rebelling against the God-given authority in their life. And they want nothing to do with the church. And they want nothing to do because there are people who have been doing things halfways. And God's saying, I'm looking for someone who is willing to stand in the gap. And the sad thing was, at the end of that verse, he says, I found none. I wonder in our homes if he's saying he's looking for someone who will stand in the gap, because there is a world who wants to hurt our families and hurt our churches, and we need someone who's willing to stand in the gap. I think about it. When godly parents are fighting to build a hedge, young person, you should be thankful for them. I really honestly believe this. We have a generation out there that is disgraceful and with things they do, unthankful towards the things that are given to them. And I don't think this is what many young people want to be. But at the same time, what better do they know unless someone's willing to stand in the gap and say, hey, that's wrong. We're not going to do this. I think about Lot's family all the time and the idea of the Bible. And, you know, Lot was there and Lot gave in. He was supposed to, when he was under Abraham's authority, everything was fine. Everything was good. But he looked and he saw Abraham said, you have a choice. You go this way. I go this way. Lot should have just said, no, Abraham, everything I have is because you've been blessed by God. And I've been blessed by you, by knowing you. Whatever you want, Abraham, we'll work together on this, but I don't want to leave you. But Lot sees this and he sees the field and he says, this is where I want to go. And so he goes there without considering what it's going to do to his family. And while he's there, he pitches his tent towards Sodom and he begins seeing all the things, and his kids begin seeing all the things that are going on. And he doesn't pack up the tent and go back to Abraham. He doesn't pack up the tent and go to a place that's safer. Instead, he gets closer and closer. He stops building that wall of protection. And then at the end of the story, we see that angry mob banging on that door saying, you know, bring those two angels or those two men out. And Lot offers his children. That's disturbing. I wonder if those two girls at that moment thought, I wish I had a dad that was like Abraham. Wish I had a dad that would stand in the gap and would try to protect me instead of saying, here, world, you can have him. Do whatever you want to with him. Because I think that's sometimes when we give up and we say, I can't enforce biblical standards. I can't do this in my world and in my home. It's just too hard. It's not worth it. We can say, here you go. Have them. Do whatever you want with them. And we see what happens to the world when we do that. When we let them do whatever they want, say whatever they want, and don't discipline them according to what the Word of God says, we're letting the hedge be torn down. That hedge is the authorities in our life. It's the spiritual wall of protections. Your parents, your pastors, your teachers, your youth pastor, they are all diligently laboring to stand in your gap. They want to make up your hedge. They're willing to fight off the spiritual enemy, to force back the oppressor on your behalf. They're willing to shoulder the burden of your spiritual safety. They don't have to, but they are following the authority in their life that God has given them so they can be ready to fight for your behalf. Those standing in your gap have expressed the greatest kind of love known to humanity. I know sometimes young people hate their parents. Sometimes they even say things that they're upset and they're mad, and they think that that hedge or that wall of protection is just blocking their view, is stopping their freedom, is not getting to what they want. And the truth is that they have kids that say things like, I hate you, or I wish you would die. I can't wait to get out of this house. And you know what? That parent is fighting for you spiritually. That parent is trying to stand in the gap and stand in that hedge. You know what? It'd be much easier to be the cool parent that says, hey, do whatever you want. Live wherever way you want. Listen to whatever you want. Wear whatever you want. That would make your parent job a lot easier. Instead of having to argue, instead of having to fight, instead of having to pray and fight a spiritual battle on your behalf. If you have a parent that's trying to build a wall of protection in your life, you should praise the Lord for them. If you have a spiritual leader in your life that's trying to build a wall of protection and trying to help you stay away from the wickedness and the evilness of the world, it's something you should be saying thank you for. And it's not something you should be fighting against. And the fourth thing I want you to get, and this will be it. The fourth thing is an authority is a protected gift from God. I know there's some of the same things that we've had talked about before. But right over that side of the hedge, right over that spiritual wall, it's the devil there, and he's trying to look for who he can devour. And I told you last week, I know not everybody has spiritual parents or Christian parents at home. And once again, you can't use that as an excuse. We learned that about Samuel. Godly authority is not, or biblical authority is not always going to be perfect. But at the same time, there's people at your church that will help you try to live what's right. There are people who will try, God will provide the people that you need to succeed. God is not going to leave you high and dry out there all by yourself. If you follow the steps of God, God, you can live a godly life even if someone in your home chooses not to. Just beyond the wall, there's a fierce lion, a vicious meat-eating enemy. You know what the devil's doing? He's hoping you break out. You know, it's like he's over there on the other side of the wall, and he's saying, come on, you can do it. Fight your parents a little bit more. Come on, break through. Over here is freedom. Over here is happiness. Over here is what you want. You know what? That's what the devil wants, because over there is nothing but a wasteland filled with rebellious people and the devil and his imps. And depending on your strength or your persistence, you know what? Sooner or later, you're going to be able to break through the wall. But what are you going to find once you do? You're going to leave behind all those things that God has intended to you to be safe, help safe from. Once again, you think about the prodigal son. He left, and he was destroyed by the devil. He left that walls of protection, and what happens? The devil ruined his life. Young man, young lady, the hedge is there. It's God's greatest gift, the spiritual protection in your life. You cannot see the battle or the enemy, but those in authority in your life can. You can trust them and stay safe, or you can resist them and break free. You will then see yourself in a painful reality that the enemy is real, and you are very, very vulnerable. The last thing, as I mentioned, is authority is a protected gift from your parents. Those who shoulder a true biblical authority shoulder spiritual battle on behalf of others. It really is no picnic, though. To try to live for the Lord and try to have kids and try to raise them right is not something that's easy. It's not for the weak of heart. To be honest with you, the easiest way to live your life is to avoid any type of authority at all. To avoid being an authority, becoming someone else's authority. Those in authority will carry a spiritual pressure for your well-being that you cannot see, that you cannot understand. They'll fight a battle for your protection that you cannot see. You know, think about it. How your parents or authority may feel. Do you think it's fun making decisions that they know you're not going to like? Do you think it's fun for them to have to continue on riding you or giving you a hard time just so you can spat back at them and argue with them and fight them because you don't respect their authority? Now, can we comprehend the gift that your parents are trying to give you if you're trying to make a right home there? Something we should be thankful for. Now, I want to bring it home to everybody because I know we talk a lot about parents and teens, but it's the same truth with other authorities in our lives, the spiritual authorities in our lives. And I know we all answer to God. I get that. In spiritual matters and in church matters, the Bible is clear that a pastor is one that's the leader. And I'm not trying to say, hey, look at my authority. I'm not saying that at all. But what I try to, as a pastor, do is establish a spiritual wall of protection for our church. Some people will say, well, why can't we allow this? And why can't we allow that? Or why can't we do this? And there are things that I think are maybe worldly, or there's things that I think that is getting a little too close to the world, or I see a danger that's come in there. And as the spiritual leader of the church, it's my responsibility to try to build a wall of protection. And as a church member, you're right. You have authority. You have the right to just kind of break down that wall. You have the right to just get up and leave and go to another church. You have the ability to say, who is he to think that he has the right to tell me what to do? Or if I have a standard to be a leader in the church, who what right does he have to say this is what a leadership requirement is and things like that? You know, all we're trying to do here is not try to have some type of power trip. But just as the same way that as a parent tries to help their child and tries to protect them, as a pastor, that's my desire, is to protect our church, to keep it pure, to be zealous about it, to be protective of it. And that's why we won't let certain things in. That's why we're trying to keep the world's music out, the world's versions of the Bibles out, the things that are, I guess, contrary to what the Word of God says. We're trying to keep those things out. Why do we do that? It's because we're trying to build a wall of protection. Same thing, I think it should always have a biblical principle to it. And that's where it's built up. I think the reason why many teenagers have rebelled is because parents have not showed them from the Bible what a biblical principle is. This is why you maybe should dress this way. This is why you should not hang around these friends. This is why you should listen to me as a parent's authority over a child. You know, we have not taught them the biblical principle. And because of that, they don't understand the biblical principle. And they think that you're just trying to steal away their fun. And it's the same thing here as a church. We try to set up a wall of protection. Because out there, there is a devil out there that's looking to seek to devour you. He wants you to go to the church that doesn't care about holy living like the Bible speaks about. He wants you to go to the church that doesn't care about the Word of God and doesn't care about one another. Doesn't care about reaching the world. He'd like for you to go to things like that because of the fact they're out there. We're open to attack more. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying just because you come to our church you're not going to have any problems. No, the devil's going to try to fight you tooth and nail. The devil's going to try to do whatever he can. But, you know, the love that a spiritual leader is supposed to show is when they are supposed to try to fight. And I tell you, young person, that's the kind of love that your heart really truly craves deep down inside. Just one that truly wants to be loved and protect it. Why do you resist it? Young person, why do you resist when your parents try to tell you and try to help you? Why would you try to break free from this? Why would you try to run from it? Why would you mistreat it? And I want to encourage you to stop fighting the fence. Start being grateful for the safety that your parents have given you. And the same thing when it comes to our Christian lives. You know what? When we have godly standards and reasons, let's not try to fight them. Let's be thankful for them. And let's understand why the Bible teaches us certain things and how we're trying to make up the hedge and how we are taking advantage of the incredible protection that's provided by the hedge and the spiritual wall that's here so we can learn how to worship as a family and also worship as a church family. Tonight, that wall of protection, is it something that we fight against or is something that we embrace? God designed biblical authority to help protect us against the attacks of the devil. Teenagers and adults, neither one really likes the idea of authority. We rather have our flesh, rather do our things our own way, and do whatever we want to do. But young people, God has placed those parents in your life for a reason and a purpose. And He knows who your parents are. He knows more about them than you know about them. And He still wants you to obey and honor them. He's trying to teach you something in your home. And church, let's keep a strong wall of protection around our church too. Let us be zealous to be pure and to be loving and to do the things according to the Word of God says. Tonight, are we rebellious against authority? See, when we talk about this, you know, a lot of people have already bitten into the hook that the devil has made look pretty. And they think that message was stupid, ridiculous, didn't make any sense. That's because we've been bitten, we bit the hook and think, where does it say any of this in the Bible? It's in there. It's the biblical authorities that God has given us. We all have to answer to God. I get that. That's first and foremost in our lives. But God gives us other things in our lives to help build a wall of protection. Not to keep your fun out, not to take away your freedom, but put a wall of protection so you can serve Him in a safe environment. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.